how to sell more cars.
Welcome, everybody, to the Nashville Association of Sales Professionals. I'm the host. My name is Terry Lancaster, and I'm a marketing strategist, which is a big $5 fancy word way of saying I help people sell stuff. I mostly help car dealerships. 95% of my work comes in the automotive industry, and I produce radio and TV spots. I've written 10,000 radio or TV spots for car dealerships over the last 30 years, usually the big booming loud ones Craig was talking about on a video this morning. So we do big loud radio and TV commercials, but I also help car dealers sell the way a lot of them don't like to sell, which is exactly the way Rick helps insurance agents and mortgage brokers and real estate agents, that by building their own referral network and creating their own weather, make more friends, sell more cars. That's the subtitle of my book, How to Sell More Cars. What I would love from you guys is if you know, and Patricia, if you know a car dealer or anyone in the automotive industry, I would love to put a copy of that book in their hands so that they can learn how to sell more cars by making more friends and having more fun. Maybe along the way, I can help them out with a radio or TV spot along the way too. Do some other stuff. I tend to tell people, the best way to tell people what I do is to tell them examples of what I've done. So in the last week, I produced radio and TV spots for car dealerships in Carbondale, Illinois. And just a couple of days ago, I was in Columbia, Tennessee, at a real estate agent giving a sales training presentation on how to market yourself without selling your soul. So my name is Terry Lancaster. And really, if you ever want to know anything at all about me, just Google me, Terry Lancaster. I'm the easiest guy in the world to find. Even though my profile picture looks like I'm in the mob, I can't hide from the mob because I can't owe anybody money because I ain't hiding from nobody. I'm right there for everybody to see. Today, our guest is Rick Silva. Rick Silva is a referral coach from One Referral Away, and he helps mortgage brokers and insurance agents and chiropractors all build their own referral network so they're not relying on knocking on doors. And today, he's going to tell us how to grow our business without the knock. Rick, go ahead, buddy.
Yay, thank you. Nice to see everyone. The hardest seminar to give is the 10 to 12 minute one. The 3 hour one's easy. The short one's hard. So I'm gonna tell you. Oh, let me share my screen. Hold on 1 second. You guys should see something that says Rick Silva, One Referral Away.
There you go.
Perfecto. Okay, I'm gonna put this here. Bear with me here. Awesome. So I'm gonna tell you a short version of my life story, and hopefully there'll be some things in there you can learn that will help you with your business, and maybe a few pointers at the end on how to get more out of this group, having facilitated them for 20 years. So I'm Rick Silva with One Referral Away Referral Coach. I am a former engineer with Eastman Kodak, so I service copiers. And when I say copiers, I'm talking about big-ass copiers. That's me at 26 years old in Rochester, New York. I used to fly back and forth and fix those big $300,000 monsters. And that's where I got my 3 or 4 or 5 college degrees. We're talking about Automobile University, Jim Rohn, Brian Tracy, Bob Proctor, you name it. I own it or have listened to it. And hundreds of CDs right over there. Over 500 books I've read. I grew up very, very lower middle class and got my education by hanging around very wealthy people, being mentored by people like Zig Ziglar just by reading their books and hanging around with people smarter than me. I worked with Eastman Kodak from 1990 to 98, got laid off in 1998, and I rode a wave of fame and fortune with Cisco Systems as a recruiter. And they say fame and fortune because what we did very early on is we cut our fee back and we started working with venture capitalists and we got stock options. So I ended up having pre-IPO stock with 13 different startups. Unfortunately, that was in 1998, 99, 2000. So I went up like this, and then the crash in 2000, 2001 was quicker than the up. And when you have, you know, $10, $12 million with a pre-IPO stock, you can't sell any of it until you have it for 5 years. So I didn't get to join any of that money, but I learned a lot about selling, cold calling, thousands and thousands of cold calls. Hey, Terry, my name is Rick Silva with a Total Staffing Solution, seeing how I can help you with any of your current staffing needs. And I've made that call thousands and thousands and thousands of times. So I was a recruiter with startups. And then when the VC started to pull out, I got recruited by Cisco Systems. So I worked at Cisco Systems for about 6 or 7 months. And I learned something, and I want to tell you a quick story about how we got in with a venture capitalist, because this is a $960,000 story in 1 year. And for me, it's made me personally about $9 million. So I worked with a young man. I was 30 at the time. He was 26 when I was doing staffing. And Jason, my boss, was walking into his condo. And he heard this sound and he leans back, and his next door neighbor had his grocery bags, and one of the grocery bags broke. And the crash was a soup hitting the floor. So he picked it up, walked in the guy's apartment or condo and put the soup cans down. The guy goes, "Hey, thanks very much. We're neighbors and we've never talked. What do you do?" And my boss said, "Well, I do." He didn't think the guy would even understand. He goes, "I'm a recruiter. I help people, software engineers, technical writers, product marketing, product management people get jobs." And the guy just smiled. He goes, "Why, what are you doing?" He goes, "I'm the hiring manager for Nokia's Internet Protocol Routing Group," which is, we all had the flip phones. We're all doing that. We all had a Nokia flip phone. The technology behind it, and the customer service behind it, and the programming behind it was being done in Mountain View, California. So because Jason picked up the guy's soup and put it on his counter, the guy was like, "I'm a hiring manager. I'll give you one open position. If you fill it, we're going to be close, fast friends." So we filled the one, and then he gave us 32 recs, and that made us $960,000 our first year. That was the first day of me never. I ended up doing it again. I'll tell you in a second, but that was the first day of me never cold calling again as in staffing. What I learned there was something called leverage. So on this side of life, if you guys can see my hands, hopefully you can, on this side of life is going out door knocking, lead generating, cold calling. The problem with cold calling and door knocking, somebody's unmuted just so you guys know, just letting you know I can hear you, is when you cold call, if you go knock on 100 doors, that you finally make a sale. When you ultimately make that sale, you're not unemployed. And you got to go knock on 100 more doors, plus the rejection and all that. So when I work with professionals, the first thing I tell them is don't ever, ever look for a client, ever. Don't ever look for somebody that can hire you. Find somebody who already has them and teach them how to send you referrals. So at the end, I can give you some more examples of that, but it's called power partnering. It's called COI, which is circle of influence, not sphere of influence. So you find a COI, or what in the networking world is called a power partner. Find people who already have your clients. We'll get into more of that a little later. Got laid off from Cisco in the dot-com crash, sold jewelry for about 2 years, was the number four salesperson in the state of California for K Jewelers. And then I kept selling all this jewelry to this one lady. I go, "What do you do?" She goes, "I sell Yellow Pages." Now, keep in mind, this is 21 years ago when people still use the Yellow Pages. So I end up going there. And it's a close-knit group. I hope you guys are comfortable. I won't say the full word, but I have a 1 FU limit per day. "Hey, it's Rick Silva, Valley Yellow Pages, calling to talk to you about Yellow Pages." FU, I almost said the full word. FU, stop effing calling me FU. Well, what was happening was when I went in there, they gave me a stack of leads, but the whole office had already called them. And I'm sorry, I keep looking at you guys. I'm going to start staring at the camera more. They gave me a stack of leads. And I'm calling them, come to find out the whole freaking office already called those people. So by the time I'm calling them, they're pissed off. So I went from doing staffing, fixing copiers, to doing staffing, to then never having to cold call when we hooked up with the VCs, to working retail where people are coming to me, which I kind of like, people just walking in and coming to me. Now I'm cold calling again. I'm like, this ain't working. So Ryan, I'm doing the Yellow Pages. I meet a lady named Sharon. And she runs networking groups just like what we're sitting in right now. And she wanted to get me to join for the Yellow Pages. And I was like, man, what you do sounds pretty cool. Come to find out, she was looking for somebody to take her business over. So I started facilitating groups with her in August 03, April 1st, which in 11 days will be 19 years, I started B2B Gathering Inc. So I facilitate networking groups just like you've seen here. That's what it looks like. That's one of my networking groups. So they meet once a month. They meet at 9 or noon, no food. Even when we met face-to-face for 17 years till COVID hit. And where you've heard of BNI, which meets weekly at 7 a.m., my groups are once a month, 9 or noon, no food, and absolutely no pitching to each other. And I'll give you more detail on that later at the end if we have the time. So I'm building my business February 12, 2008, 2 days before Valentine's Day. We decided to get divorced. I already ordered the flowers, so that's why I remember it was February 12th. My house in California, those of you that don't know California housing prices, my house that I'm sitting in right now is 2,400 square feet, 1.9 million. And it's a shit box. Guarantee all your houses are better than mine. They throw these houses up, put hardly any insulation in it, and sell them. What makes houses so expensive in California is a lack of land. But it's really expensive out here. And that real estate up and down where Craig, they said you got pulled out. Well, in 2008, I understand why a lot of people got hammered. You know, I've worked with hundreds of mortgage lenders, the NEGAM loan situation, all that. So my house was flying up. And then the month I decided to get divorced, I'm $300,000 under what I paid for it. So my house went down like $500,000 in a couple months. Couldn't sell it, did a deed of trust transfer, handed my house to my ex-wife, where she still lives there to this day with my kids. And Rick Silva was 29, 30 years old. Let me think about that. 2008. I was 39 years old, almost 40. Broke. That's my Cadillac that got repossessed. That building, if you guys know John Madden, the famous football coach, Andrew, you know him from Madden Football. He owns that building. He owns about $300 million worth of real estate in a city called Pleasanton. So these windows right here are significant, because when Rick got divorced and lost everything and had $5,000 to his name at 40 years old, Rick moved into his office. And these windows right here are those windows right there. When I say moved in, this is a 140-year-old mansion. I literally moved in. I put a microwave, a coffee pot in there, put clothes there. I put some clothes down there. I slept on that futon. I was homeless for 7 months, showered at the gym every day at 39 or 40 years old. Running my networking groups, trying to get my stuff together. By the way, at this time, I'm sleeping on this futon. I shared this stage with Les Brown. I was the first speaker on stage, 615 people in the room at the Millionaire Marketing Seminar, and I'm sleeping on a freaking futon. Then my life changed in 2010. My now wife, Marcella, joined one of my networking groups. To give you the shortest story I can, she was a software engineer at Lawrence Livermore Lab. She had an old 401k. She always wanted to become rich. She took that old 401k and bought some land with it, liked the experience so much, got a real estate license, started helping other people invest in land, did it part-time until she joined this crazy guy, Rick Silva, networking group. And I met her there. I saw these two slides, and these two slides made me a multi-millionaire, and there's no way to water that down. So if you look at this slide real quick, this is called land banking. This is in Los Angeles County. These yellow lines show you where the roads ended up, but in this picture, there are no roads. This is a backdated Google image, 2002. The land in this picture is 50 to 150,000 an acre. 10 years later, it's 2 million to 7 million per acre. This happens over and over and over in California. There's 40 million people here. You can hear all you want about people moving out. The news will make you very broke. This happens over and over and over. So we help people buy land when it looks like this and sell to developers and create tremendous wealth. We've sold over 850 parcels of land. So that's us. We'll be there again in 3 months. I've won 4 trips to Tahiti, all expenses paid. That's Santorini. I've been all over the world for 10 straight years, all of it paid for without ever cold calling, door knocking, lead generating, all through networking. So I'm a referral coach. My wife does land banking. I've brought in about 600 of those 850 transactions. I was bankrupt, and I'm certainly not bankrupt now. Had over 6,000, probably close to 6,600 one-on-one coffee meetings. Facilitated at this point, maybe 12, 13, 1400 of what you're looking at right now, networking groups. Two slides. Next to last slide. What I learned is find people who already have your client and teach them how to send you referrals and vice versa. Never selling to them, just teaching them how to send you referrals. And then the expert networker. So if I take Jim, for instance, Jim's got the handyman business. So you're probably going to want to work with painters and electricians and general contractors or roofers. And you start in and carpet, I can name 200 for you. And then you start introducing your network to your network. You know, Craig's got real estate agents in different cities that don't want to work in other cities. So they might want to refer it out, get a referral fee because they don't want to drive from Tennessee to, I don't know all the cities there, but you don't want to drive from one city to another. So you start connecting your referral partners. That's an elite level networker. This is the last slide I had for you today. And I'll be happy to answer any questions you have. The parts of the referral network. Number one, you've got to have an epiphany story. That's the up and downs. You just witnessed my epiphany story, my ups, my downs, the roller coaster. Jim Rohn would always say, there's no touchdown without going through the 300 pounders. You can't have light without the dark. So you have to have a personal story. That's how people resonate with you. If you don't have a good personal story, then you come across as a quote unquote salesperson. People don't like to be sold. They like to help. Number two, personal avatar. You're generally going to have 5 to 10 different avatars. But an avatar is, if you look at my hands, an avatar is a clay mold of what a perfect client looks like for you. In real estate, you'll have first-time home buyers. You have empty nesters. You have people who inherited houses. You'll have step up, step down for whatever reason, investors, 1031 exchange. You need a different avatar for each one. And then from the avatar of what a perfect client looks like, 30 to 40 years old, just got married, have 2 kids. Here's what kind of work they do. Here's their price range. How much they make. It's much as you need to know more about your client than they know about themselves. From that, you craft an elevator pitch, very specifically crafted. And then you need to figure out who your center, your circle of influence are, your power partners. And you need to come up with at least 50 to 100 different industries. This screen right here, by the way, takes 12 hours to teach. And then you need to find this, like if I was Craig, I'd be meeting obviously real estate agents, financial planners, and relocation companies, and I'd be having coffee with them. And then I teach them how to send me referrals, but I need to find them. I need to have the list. I need to find them. I need to meet them for coffee. We need to figure out how to build a reciprocal referral relationship. And then we rinse and repeat. I don't know how long I went. I went as fast as I could. It's Rick Silva, one referral away. And I'm going to stop share now. And I'm here if you guys have any questions or if you want to move on with the meeting, I won't be offended, whatever you'd like.
No, we it is all about you. We have all the time in the world. You did that fine. I'm going to start it. I'm going to throw you a softball, Rick. I'm just going to lob this one up there. And so let's talk a minute about even why. I mean, because some businesses, they like the new juice. It's all about, I got to have something new, exciting. And I know salespeople who enjoy the cold call and they think of it as big game hunting. I'm going to go in and kill this dragon right off the bat. But tell us why referrals matter more and pay better than cold calls.
Oh, my God. That's a 3-hour answer. I'm going to do my best, Terry, because I got about 20 videos on it. My number one mission in life is to educate people on not cold calling and door knocking. Okay, so there are some businesses. There's no business that's going to do better cold calling than will networking that I know of. Okay, I'm going to use my wife's business because I don't want to pinpoint anybody in the group and show any form of favoritism or anything. That's a much better view. Thank you. I like that. So my wife does something called land banking, help people invest in land. So to meet somebody who wants to invest, she has to spend an hour and 20 minutes with them. And then if they want to invest, we have to get the parcel from my wife's company. My wife spends about 45 minutes on that parcel, then has to present it. So she's 4 hours deep with someone. So I'm going to kind of break this down. When you cold call, so when you advertise or cold call, you're commoditized because nobody has any trust or faith in you. So when you advertise, you're commoditized. So if you advertise or lead generate, what's the first question someone asks you? How much? That's the first thing they ask you is how much. So if Jim's not in a financial position where he needs to do this, and Jim, I hope you never do this, but if you walked up and down the street knocking on doors, you got to convince people who you are. You do this whole sales thing and it wears you out. And Terry, write something down for me. Write down the dentist just in case I get off track because I get ADD. But Jim, if you met with painters and general contractors and the general contractor got a phone call saying, hey, my deck, you know, there's a couple rotten boards. General contractor could go, you know what? I got 30 employees. That's a little too small for me. But my friend Jim is an expert at working on decks. Call Jim. When Jim gets a phone call, the last thing Jim needs to know how to do is sell. What selling is involved when the general contractor said, call Jim? I'm pointing this way because Jim's sitting next to me. So you guys have a brain battery. And there's only so much power each day you have in that battery. If you spend it cold calling and smile and dial, pick up that phone, everybody. And even the guys with the high testosterone and they think they know everything about sales and are... The problem is it's not natural. It's natural to help. It's not natural to cold call. Now I'm going to go back to the dentist story because, Terry, thank you for writing that down. I've coached a gazillion dentists, okay? And I'm also going to talk to you about attorneys. Dentists, I was trying to teach a dentist and he was getting uncomfortable. I go, there's something we're not vibing for some reason. He goes, I can't meet people and ask for referrals. Well, I don't think you should, when you ask, you're asking for leads. It's impossible to ask for referrals, but why can't you ask for, he goes, this is why. When someone's in my practice and I say, hey, if you have other friends and family members who need their teeth cleaned, have them give me a call. He goes, to me, it sounds desperate. To me, it sounds like I need business. If I need business, that means I'm not as busy as I should be. If I'm not as busy as I should be, that means I'm not that good of a dentist. So he equated asking for business that his patients would think he's not that good of a dentist. That led me down the road of learning how to properly program the reticular activating system and the brainstem to get more referrals. Now, attorneys cannot cold call and cannot door knock. They will be disbarred. It's called ambulance chasing. So they can run Yellow Pages ads and they can network. So I the easiest and quickest way, Terry, to explain is I'm not bragging. I killed myself to get where I am. I worked 80 hours a week for 10 years, got type 2 diabetes, almost died. To now, I'm just going to tell you, last year I made $865,000 working 15 hours a week. The year before I made $768 working 20 hours a week. COVID year, $585 working 20, 25 hours a week in the year before COVID, in the mid fives working 40 hours a week. COVID blew my business up in a good way, like unbelievable. So I'm take advice from someone who's made a few dollars and went from living on his couch to having between $7 to $9 million worth of land. So I was homeless to 54 years old, not having to work anymore either. You guys go out and knock on 100 doors of people who could potentially hire you. So if you're real estate, go knock on 100 doors. Okay. And I'm going to go knock on 100 doors. And I'm going to knock on 100 doors of estate planning attorneys, mortgage lenders, financial planners, relocation companies, general contractors, pool cleaners, carpet cleaners. You see where I'm going. And you knock on 1,000 doors, and I'm going to tell you, and I'll knock on 1,000 doors. I'm going to tell you right now, in 3 years, the first 6 months, you're going to beat me. You're going to outsell me by cold calling. But there's going to come a time where I'm going to meet the right person or the right people, and they're going to start sending me business, and my days of cold calling are over. There's a lady named Estella. Terry, can I tell you a 5-minute story?
You can tell me anything you want, brother.
Thank you. Let me get a sip of coffee. I'm going to tell you, I'm working on an outline of a video right now. It's how I made. In fact, I'm going to show you the picture so you know Rick's not joking around. I'm going to show you the pictures first. I'm going to blow the punchline just so you guys know. I always say, people always contact me, hey, I want to coach you on this. I want to coach you on that. Awesome. You got to make $1 million a month. My brokest mentor makes $7 million a year. And then the guy I get to spend about 10 hours a year with, multi-billionaire, owns my wife's company. And I'll cut this out because this is being recorded by me also and me speaking. I will cut out what I just said. But I'm going to show you how to make, how we made almost $2 million with a 1-hour talk. One 1-hour talk. And Jim's going to like it. But I want to show you this first. And if this doesn't focus, I'll turn my lights off. So these are commission checks where I walked into the bank. This is not how much people invested in our land business. I want you guys to understand I have two lives. One life is running networking groups, teaching referral generation and networking all over the world, one-on-one coaching. And the other side of my life is I'm the rainmaker for my wife's land investing business. And that's on freaking autopilot. And I'm going to point at Jim again because I've done over 850 transactions, well over 400 because of mortgage lenders. But before I spoil too much of the punchline, I just want you to, and I can see it. So I know when you guys see it, that's one. And I'm going to tell you all about where these checks came from in great detail. It looks like the same amount, but it's not.
Oh, my.
That's what I walked into the bank with. That is not how much they invested. I want to show you this real quick. Now, those are all 2005. You can see the date on this one. That's April. That's my biggest one ever. It will focus. But that same month, they're not all that big. These are all the same month, 30,000, 5,700, 2,800, 2,800, I mean, 220,000 that month. And I tell you that for no other reason, if you make more than me, keep doing what you're doing. If I make more than you, maybe I can help. So we meet a title agent, actually escrow. Title agents can't take referral fees. You got to be very careful with your education on who you teach to referral, and if you pay referral fees and all that. CPAs cannot take referral fees, so I don't network with too many CPAs. In California, title reps cannot take a referral fee, but escrow can. So we had an escrow agent put 15 investors in a room in a country club. Excuse me. As I said, I'm fighting a cold, so bear with me. My wife did a 1-hour talk. At the end, a lady named Estella Miavia, who I've taken around the world 4 straight years, and I've paid every dime. I paid $18,000 for her and her husband and 2 other people to go to Tahiti with us. And I'm going to tell you how many millions I've made because of her. So she's in the room. She goes, I own 15 homes, and all my family owns land. She's from Mexico. And all my family owns land in Mexico, and I don't own any. I want to talk to you. And I don't hear from her for 6 months. So I'm going to pause button on her. And I'm going to tell you about another lady that was in the room named Rhonda. If you guys don't know, by the way, what a 1031 exchange is, it's when you own an investment property. Let's say you buy a property for $100,000. It goes up to $500,000. If you sell it and put the money in the bank, you're going to pay taxes on the $400,000 of the profit. If you take the $500,000 and buy a like kind property, so multi-units, apartment buildings, commercial buildings, and land are all commercial. If you take the $500,000 to buy a building with it, you've deferred taxes. You don't pay any taxes on the $400,000 gain. You just step up in property and you step up again and you step up again. When you ultimately want to retire or cash out, you pay the taxes at that time. And in the perfect world, you're in a different tax bracket. So I have a lady named Rhonda Fee. I have expressed permission to give out these people's names. Rhonda Fee sitting there. And at the end, she comes up to me and she goes, I want to have a meeting, a coffee meeting. Perfect. Meet with her for coffee. We sit down. The first thing she says, my family owns land in Fremont. I'm talking about a half a mile from where Teslas are built. And I go, my mind goes, damn, I can't help her. I can only help people with land they bought from us. I can't help her. I go, I can't help you. She goes, I don't need any help. My grandfather, 1979, bought land in Fremont, and we're in escrow right now at $7.9 million, and we don't know what to do with the money. Now, she's a real estate agent, and she doesn't want to own rental properties because she owns some, and people tore the houses up. And her mom was 80 years old, and she didn't want her mom buying, you know, 30 houses. So she goes, I'm going to talk to you about buying land. And in my mind, I went, wow. So those checks I showed you from Rhonda. So that was about, I don't know if I didn't add it up, 500,000 or 600,000 from one lady. And also she put her real estate, she's a broker. She hung her shingle with our company. And I've made another 300,000 or 400,000 in commissions because we manage her. She brings people in. My wife handles closing all the business. She gets a commission. We get a commission. So we're doing with her. And all of a sudden, Estella, who was in that meeting, told us she owned 17 or 18 homes out in California. Guys, I know people own 20 homes in Florida and they're worth 200,000 each. When you own 17 homes in California, you're talking about owning some homes. Condos out here, $1 million. She comes out of nowhere. What ended up happening, she had a tumor and almost died. Well, when she healed up, we're the first person she called. So she just recently purchased her 13th property from us. But it gets bigger than that. So she's a mortgage lender. So I want to explain, in my business, 65 to 70% of all people who buy land use old 401ks and IRAs. They roll it to a self-directed IRA. And this self-directed IRA owns the land. I meant Craig. Craig is the mortgage guy. Sorry about that. That's for Craig. So I was meeting financial planners and it wasn't going so well. And I'm like, wait a minute. I think I'm the world's leading authority on networking. And why isn't this working? Well, financial planners saw us as competition. They just want to tell us that because if people are buying land, then they don't have the money in the stock market. And then I start meeting with CPAs and that wasn't going so well because they can't take referral fees. Then I start meeting real estate agents that started going better. Then I met a mortgage lender named Cove. That was his first name. He'd been a mortgage lender for 40 years. And he starts breaking down my business and he goes, the only people you keep talking to is mortgage lenders. He says, number one, they can take referral fees. Well, number two, just FYI, in land doesn't fall under something called RESPA. So we can pay anybody we want a referral fee. But he goes, here's who sees the most old 401ks? I go, blah, 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 CPAs and financial planners. No. Nobody sees more old 401ks than the mortgage lender, because if you have a dollar under the mattress, I have to know about it to really get this person a loan. He goes, here's how you should talk to mortgage lenders. My income went from 180,000 to 356,000 and through the roof. So Estella Miavia is in that room. Well, Rhonda Fee's in the room. She 1031s millions and millions with us. You saw my commissions. She purchases 8 or 9 properties. Estella purchases 13. We've closed 85, I think 86 as of Saturday, 86 real estate transactions from one person. One. So the Jason story. Jason picks up a can of soup. And a guy hands him $960,000 worth of business. One man, 32 recs. One mortgage lender, 86 deals. So I say, if you want a cold call and door knock, I'm 27 years old, you guys. I look 54 because I've made thousands and thousands and thousands of cold calls. If you want to have an enjoyable life, you want to do other things besides just your job. The reason I can spend 10 or 15 hours a week on YouTube, the reason I can sit here and I could sit here till tonight, because I don't have to work. When the business is coming to you and you're not, so the average salesperson spends 15 to 30 hours a week looking for business. If you built a referral network and you're not looking for business, I've just given you 15 to 30 hours to go fishing, to do something else other than freaking work, because life is short. And after going on that hike and almost dying on the side of a mountain because I didn't know I had type 2 diabetes, shit got real. So if people want a cold call and they got that testosterone and they want to do whatever they can, I cold call and I make sales. I'm not going to try to change your opinion. But I like meeting one person who sends me 85 deals. And when you make $2 million from a one-hour talk, I'll take that. Terry, that was a long-ass answer, but that's my whole life.
In addition to hosting this networking group, I have a podcast. It was originally called the Get You Some Radio Show. It's recently changed to the How to Sell More Cars podcast. But I've done a little over 100 interviews of authors and trainers. I met a guy by the name of Larry Levine who sold Xeroxes. Xerox machines, and he wrote a book called Selling from the Heart is his book. And I've heard a version of that story at least 100 times. I did something nice randomly for some person with no expectation, and it paid my bills for a long time after that. That has been the biggest discovery that I've had is how often that story weaves its way into the lives of successful people. So, yeah.
In fact, if you don't mind, I don't have all six. I was looking for all six, but hold on one second. Is it right here? I'll be thrilled. Hold on one second. Yay! I got it. I'm going to save you time if you want to build a referral network, but this is one of the best books ever written, The 100 Absolutely Unbreakable Laws of Business Success by Brian Tracy. But in order to, Dan, pardon me fighting a cold if I don't remember all the laws, but there are six laws you need, and that piggybacking on what you just said, Terry, six laws you need to follow. The law of attraction, the law of sowing and reaping, Parkinson's law, law of attraction, law of sowing, Parkinson's law, law of abundance, and I can't believe I can't remember the other two, but it doesn't matter because I only want to talk to you about the law of attraction. The law of reciprocity.
Law of reciprocity.
Which is the most important one, which I almost forgot. The law of reciprocity. So here's the thing with the law of reciprocity. Law of reciprocity says, by the way, let's start with this. In the Bible, in the Quran, and in the Bhagavad Gita, those three religious writings, they don't agree in anything. they don't have the same, they don't agree with anything except two things. Love, the belief in love, and the belief in the law of reciprocity. So the way that goes is, ye who wishes to tread on soft soil must first add the water. And then it goes to the story of the old man in front of the fireplace. He's freezing. And then you walk in the cabin and, Grandpa, why are you freezing? I'm waiting for the heat. You look in the fireplace, there's no wood. You got to find an axe. Then I'm one of those, if you're going to ask me to cut down a tree, I'm going to spend 5 hours sharpening the blade. If I had 6 hours, 5 hours sharpening the blade, 1 hour chopping on the tree. You got to sharpen the blade. Then you got to walk in the forest. And then you got to swing the blade. And then you got to split the wood. Then you got to bring the wood back, put it in the fireplace, and you got to figure out how you're going to light that fire. And then you got to stoke that fire. So giving with no thought of return, which is the law of reciprocity, is the foundation of everything I teach, and the law of attraction. I generally don't give unsolicited advice, but I would like to give you guys some because I've been running groups for 20 years. This is the one thing I noticed. Terry is the only one that I think Terry and maybe Jim, maybe Terry's the only one that didn't do this. You're all quote unquote guilty of this, but guilty of what? We're not going to jail. Try never to use. And this is one thing in my networking groups, I will not allow this to happen. If this happens, I'll stop the meeting. Don't ever use the words you and your in your elevator pitch. I can help you with your deck. I can help you with your voicing. I can help you. If you have five employees, I can help you get a better mortgage. Because what it does, the word you is a trigger that turns people off because, oh, crap, they're trying to sell to me. Because everybody's been beat down by going to networking events by Amway, Monavie, Crystals, Candles, Power Drinks, and the number one killer of most professional networking groups for using the word you and your, and there's not one here, selling life insurance. Hey, Terry, do you have kids? Cool. What age are they? Oh, Terry, have you ever sat and thought, what would happen to them if something happened to you? Were they trying to sell you life insurance? That was the tactic from the 50s to the 90s. But unfortunately, there's some people still doing that stuff. So try to eliminate the words you and your. You didn't hear it in mine. So one of the ways is, is you say my clients. So Terry, Craig, I'm going to use you because I've coached a gazillion mortgage lenders and real estate agents. The not best way, because we don't want to put blinders on the members of our networking group, because you guys are supposed to be the non-commissioned, non-salaried sales force for each other. You're not supposed to be getting each other's clients. And even if you think in your mind, well, I'm not trying to get each other's clients, when you say, I can help you with your deck, or I can help you with the voiceover on your, or I can help you, your employees, blah, 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 or I can help you get a better rate, or I can help you sell more, whatever it is, the second you use the word you, you're directly selling to the other members. And I say, if they want to do business with you, they're here. They don't need to be sold to. Teach them how to find you business. So kind of not the greatest way would be, everybody, my name's Craig. I'm a mortgage lender. I was a mortgage lender years ago. And like the Godfather, I went out and they pulled me back in, and I love the business. And here's why I'm in the business. And for my clients, if they're investors, or what I've done for some of my clients in the past, they had XYZ rate. We locked them in XYZ rate, saving them XYZ amount of dollars. A perfect client for me is if you hear a friend or family member say things like, I've been renting. I wonder if it's time to buy. In fact, I'm going to show you something here. I paused on the most important part, which is the word for word quotes. Here's our business cards on the back. I'm going to read to you what this says. A perfect client for me is a friend or family or a client who says any of the following. I want to diversify my portfolio. I wonder if I could get a better mortgage rate. I've been renting. I wonder if it's time to buy. I'm sick of tenants, toilets, termites, troubles, and taxes. I don't want to have any more rental properties. The stock market freaks me out. My investments are stressing me out. I don't know how the heck I'm ever going to retire. So in there, I never said I could get you a better rate. I say, here's what I did for my clients. And that's what's called the indirect sales approach. The indirect sales approach, I actually sold to every one of you in the room. But I didn't ask you if you wanted to buy. But what I did do is I taught you how I help all my other clients. So I've sold 300 or 400 parcels of land where somebody goes, Rick, what do you do? I could say, I help people like you create wealth by investing in land. Or I could say, where'd you grow up? I grew up in XYZ city. Have you seen parts of that city where you grew up that looks different now than it did before? Are there maybe some, oh my God, this one area I used to walk down the street feeding the horses. Now there's a movie theater or a car dealership. Oh my God. So what I do is I help people buy land when there's almost nothing there, but it's in the path of growth, and then create wealth. So if you've ever heard somebody say, man, I got a lot of rentals, they're driving me crazy, that'd be a great client. So I educated the person on what I do without ever directly selling to them. So like an idea for Patricia would be, I appreciate we met for 10 seconds, but I work with YouTubers and or business owners who either want to be on radio or want to be on YouTube. The last thing they want to be is the face of the channel. And I become their voice and help them XYZ business. This is what I've done for some other companies. So a perfect client for me is if you hear a YouTuber or a business owner say, man, oh man, I want to do more on YouTube. I do not ever want to be on camera. I want to have one of those faceless channels I've heard of, but I don't want to sit there and do all that talking. I need somebody with a great voice. That's a way where you've educated people on exactly what you do, but you haven't sold to them.
Nice. Thank you.
Yeah. Hopefully that helps, because the number one thing you guys want to do in this group is try never to use the words you or your. That's the only really, like in my groups, I stop the meeting in front of 30 people, go, oh, Let's go back to the one I helped you create.
Thanks, Rick. We've got time for one question. Who's got one question for Rick? And then we got a vote.
And I'll answer.
I know Craig would have killed for a futon in 2008. He would have sold his soul for a futon in 2008, right,
Brian? I saw him raise his hand when I was telling my story.
Yeah. No questions. Then Jim, tell us.
50 and then a Yukon, a GMC Yukon for 6 years.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. That's a recovery time right there.
Yeah.
That's a man that's got Teflon skin.
Well, I have a daughter that I couldn't, I had to stick it out for her. She was in a pretty bad situation at her mom. So do what you got to do.
Yeah. I just did the math. I've paid $362,000 in child support. That was a mathematical. And my proudest moment, no matter where I was living, eating top ramen for a couple months, I never missed a child support payment. That's my proudest moment. So you got any other questions? I'll be happy to answer it. I'll be more than happy to see you guys again if you want.
Can I post a group picture?
For sure. You have my permission. You get it?
Yeah, Jim, what's going on next week in Murfreesboro?
Well, we, as you know, we've cut back the networking to one time a month in person. So we will be meeting next Monday in Murfreesboro at the DoubleTree. I know a couple of you are out of the area, but it's well worth the drive. I should plan ahead. I didn't happen to have the speaker list right in front of me, but everybody here will be on the mailing list. You'll be getting the emails, even if you're out of the area. Just open it up and take a look at it. And if you can make it, it is well worth it. Everybody is tired of hearing me tell my version of the story, but where I helped a guy that I could not sell, I met with. But during the conversation, I mentioned that somehow Cracker Barrel corporate came into mind. And he said, oh, my wife's best friend is the executive assistant to the CEO. Just call, we'll call her and she'll get you on the CEO's list, which she did. And I walked out of there with one of the biggest sales I had in for the Better Business Bureau. So not to go off down a rabbit hole, but you know, certainly all this networking conversation has well paid off for me through my career. Now people call me. So this has worked out very well. But anyway, I hope to see you all in person on Monday. If not, in one of the future meetings that will be coming up here in Murfreesboro, it happens to be the one city in Tennessee that Rick knows.
That's the only city I stopped in to eat. I had a great meal, and I cannot for the life of me remember the name of the restaurant. Damn it.
Yeah, my version of that strategy appeals to 17-year-old boys. I tell us, if you're a 17-year-old boy, you never want to date the head cheerleader. That's too much drama. That's too much competition. Everybody's chasing that. But you want to be her best friend because she has lots and lots and lots of attractive friends. So pick your targets wisely.
There you go.
Rick, thank you, buddy. Drafting. I appreciate you. That's Bob, thanks drafting. For the introduction.
Thank you.
Everybody, thanks for showing up. We'll see you next time. Y'all be good.
Bye-bye.